The Charlotte Hornets will never win anything as long as LaMelo is their starting point. Going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports in the Real podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Check out the website, sportsintherereal.tv. I have the latest and greatest. It's just the latest episodes, man, but I do have my favorite clips on there. But you can stay up to date with me on what I got going on the website. I try to keep it refreshed as often as I can, but definitely subscribe, like, share. I appreciate you guys hanging out once again. Football continues, college, NFL, and then the NBA is about to start in a week or so, 10 days it is. So let's jump into it real quick. I'm going to do a quick college football, NFL, and then I'm going to do my NBA season preview, tell you everything you need to know as the NBA season gets ready to jump off. So college football first. Texas won this weekend against Oklahoma. And nothing really to write home about. You know, I've been banging on Art, so I ain't going to say too much about him. Florida lost after beating Texas. And I did want to talk about this and that. I talked about DJ Lagway last week in his matchup against Arch. But the fact that Arch has been getting so much criticism and so much publicity has overshadowed how bad DJ Lagway has been. And as someone who was the number one in his class in 2024, came out with a lot of hype, and he has a cannon. He has a strong arm, make essentially all the throws downfield. It's very erratic, all over the place. You have no idea where the ball is going. If he's seeing the field right, if he's throwing into single coverage, double coverage, who knows? I don't think he even knows. So he just has a rocket and he's just throwing the ball. And the fact that Arch has gotten so much, you know, publicity and his last name is Manning, like if his last name was Arch Johnson, we probably wouldn't be talking about him. And we definitely would be talking about DJ Lagway more as a way bigger disappointment. Like he's been really, really bad. So as I watch Florida play, I'm like, they got a pretty good defense. They got some players on the outside, receivers to make plays. But Billy Napier is still suspect, I feel. But more so than that is DJ Lagway is really bad. And yes, he's only a freshman. Has room to grow, opportunity to learn, get better, so on and so forth. Or a sophomore, I should say. He's a sophomore. But as I watch this cat play, I'm like, dang. Like, how did he end up being ranked first coming in high school? Like, his passes seem to always be behind the receiver, like, not where the pass should be, not where he intends it to be, but it's always in the wrong spot. So he is super lucky, should be thanking his lucky stars that Arch Manning exists and that he's covering for him. Otherwise, I don't know what to say. Like, this guy is, I can't take it. I can't watch it anymore. Until DJ Lagway gets better, I can't watch any more UF games. Because, I mean, I want to see him to see what he can do. Because he had so much hype. It doesn't look good. I'm looking for some quality quarterback play, y'all. I'm desperate for some quality quarterback play on the college level. And I cannot find it anywhere. I'm like, who's going to take the mantle from, you know, in the NFL and step up and be like the guy we follow into the NFL and who's nice? And there is nobody right now from what I've seen. Maybe he's playing on the West Coast somewhere. But from what I've seen in college football, there is not a guy where we're like, this guy's going to be like really good in the NFL. Like, look out for him. He's going to do something. Not even close. What else? Penn State fires James Franklin. I talked about this. a couple weeks ago when I was like, this cat can't beat, you know, can't win top 10 matchups. He can't. He can't win any top 10 matchups, and then he loses again the following week, and then he loses again this weekend. Third straight loss. There is no excuse. All right? I don't like to call for people's jobs. I hate it when people get fired when they shouldn't have been. But in this instance, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else Penn State could do. Maybe he's lost a squad. He's lost a program. I'm sure the alumni wanted him gone a long time ago. But me personally, after watching James Franklin blow another top 10 against Oregon, and, you know, and it's not just the Oregon losses, all the ones before that and all the playoff games that he probably should have won. And at some point you're like, all right, we need a new voice, a new face, somebody else, you know, to switch things up. And there's no guarantee that the guy who comes behind him is going to be any better. But Penn State's willing to take that risk with a $49 million buyout. $49 million to go away and not coach. That doesn't happen often. That tells you how bad they wanted to get rid of James Franklin. And listen, sometimes it gets to that point where the money doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever it takes, pay whatever it costs, because we have to make a change. And they did. $49 million later, he gets paid to go home. There's not much else to say there. But that does tie in to my Florida State Seminoles, who maybe should be looking to fire their own head coach in Mike Norvell. Now, the Seminole fan base has been calling for Mike Norvell's head since last year. The year before that, he kind of got a reprieve with the undefeated season. But prior years, team wasn't good. 8 straight ACC losses for my Florida State Seminoles. 8 straight. The once dominant squad in the ACC has lost 8 straight games. So what do you want the fan base to do? We're losing at home to Pitt. Clearly, we have more talent than Pitt, but somehow, with a freshman quarterback who was the backup, who's not a starter, Pitt gets to be Florida State in Tallahassee, Doak Campbell Stadium, where at one point, nobody was coming through and winning in Tallahassee. But now, teams see us as sweet. Like, anybody could come into Tallahassee and win. The Pitt Panthers, who don't have nearly the talent as Florida State, can walk in there and beat us. Mike Norvell is a nice guy by all accounts, really nice guy, but sometimes you're just up above your head. You're just not at that level yet. His buyout right now is stupendous. His buyout is 85% of whatever his remaining contract is between 2025 and 2031. He restructured his deal in the offseason. So if he gets fired right now in season, he's owed $61 million. If he gets fired after the season, he's owed $53 million. So it just essentially rolls based on how much he has left on his contract. So it's 85% of whatever the contract is. That's what his buyout is. But it's crazy. And as I'm watching my Seminoles, I'm like, this team has zero identity. We get bullied all the time. UM bullied us. Pitt just kept doing whatever they wanted. Like, our defense didn't know what to do. We kept rushing three and dropping. And we giving this young quarterback all day. Like, we should have been pressuring him. And our strategy has been, hey, let's get all of these transfer portal guys. And I've said this for quite some time, and I truly believe it. You can't build a true winning program, sustained program, with the portal being the number one way you get talent. We're in the state of Florida, man. We should be able to get homegrown talent in the state, and we don't have that many homegrown cats starting for the Florida State Seminoles, 5 stars, 4 stars. We don't. So we're relying on transfers like DJU last year, who sucked, and Tommy Castellano, who is hit and miss. Sometimes he makes a great pass. You're like, damn, I wasn't expecting that. And sometimes he misses a wide open pass. He's hit and miss. And you can see why he ended up getting benched at BC. He's off and on, erratic. He makes some spectacular plays, but you get the feeling that for Florida State, outside of the plays where they can confuse the defense and throw them off and run misdirections, their offense really isn't built to just drop back and throw, drop back and run. Because our quarterback is not that type of quarterback. And we haven't recruited anybody who can be that type of quarterback. Like the quarterback at Pitt Saturday looked like he was a quarterback. Drop back, throw the ball, nothing's there, run. And he's a freshman. We made him look like he was a seasoned vet. The team has no culture, man, no identity. Like, we got lucky with the Jordan Travis, you know, year until he hurt his leg. You know, Trey Benson, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, all these guys were portal guys. Mike Norvell is unable to recruit, like, truly talented blue-chip guys straight out of high school to Florida State. And as a result, you may get lucky one year with a lot of NFL talent somehow, right? You're good at spotting guys who are already playing well in college, but how do you build a culture and build a pipeline of guys who want to come to Florida State? UGA does it, and it's not that UGA doesn't go to the portal, but UGA has built a pipeline of cats who want to come to Athens. So why can't Florida State do that? We are literally in the state. So I think it's time for Mike Norvell to be switched out, man. It is. I don't know who his replacement would be. Some cats thought it would be Dion. Maybe Dion should come. But I don't know about Dion. First of all, I don't know about Dion's health. I don't know if Dion really wants to come to Tallahassee anymore after they tried him. I don't know. I mean, he's struggling in the Big 12 or whatever that conference is right now. So I don't know about Dion. But what I do know is that there needs to be a change. We need an identity. We need culture setters. And right now, Mike Norvell is providing neither. And as a result, Florida State is 3-3 after a promising start to the season. But that Alabama win is looking really more and more like it was a fluke. Like we had all season a game plan, all offseason a game plan, and then, whoop, we snuck up on them. Probably, if we play Alabama right now again, it's probably a blowout Alabama's way. So 8 straight ACC losses after a 2-10 season, like 0-3 to start off the conference play. I mean, really, the aberration, the anomaly was the Jordan Travis, Trey Benson, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk year where we almost went to the playoffs. Unfortunately, as a Seminole, our season is over. Let's move on to the NFL. There's no way to segue smoothly out of that. Let's move on to the NFL. It sucks, man. It sucks. All right, Eagles lost to the Giants Thursday Night Football. The world was watching. And I posted a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, man, after I watched the Rams and Eagles play, I was really concerned about the Eagles defense. I'm like, why is Matthew Stafford able to, you know, until he gets to the red zone, Matthew Stafford is throwing the ball. People are wide open, connecting on passes, short, deep, whatever he wanted. Rams was running the ball all over the place on the Eagles. And after that game, even though the Eagles ended up winning, I was like, after that game, I was like, the Eagles should be concerned and Eagles fans should be concerned about their defense because the Rams did whatever they wanted to do. And if Matthew Stafford was just an average quarterback that day, the Rams would have beaten. The Eagles would have gotten their first L that weekend, but they didn't. And then the next weekend, they same thing, right? They kind of somehow made a way to win. But eventually, it caught up to them. And on Thursday night, in front of the world, Jackson Dart was looking like baby Josh Allen against the Eagles. He did whatever he wanted. Passed, ran, whatever. And so now I get to ask Eagles fans, are you worried now? Is there any concern now that you just watched your defense get eaten alive by rookie Jackson Dart, who was backing up Russell Wilson up until a couple of weeks ago? Are you now concerned that your defense is suspect, or are you just going to make excuses or say, well, at least we won? Well, you can't say at least you won this time. The excuses that you made against the Rams was, well, we won. We shut Matthew Stafford down enough to win, when really Matthew Stafford shut himself down that game. So what are Eagles fans going to say now? Because now you got an L, two in a row. And is there any concern now? The offense, by the way, also looks suspect. Their offense didn't look great at all. But we can say, you know, their offense is going to get better because they got the guys on offense to get better. AJ's still there. Vontae, they got the guys. Saquon, their offense is going to get better, we think. But I don't know if their defense gets better. And if their defense doesn't get any better, this team right now is not going back to the Super Bowl. Because they're making things easy on teams. People are driving up and down the field on them. Anybody with a respectable offense is going to look good against the Eagles now. And Eagles fans are going to be like, well, at least we won. We have a winning record. Well, okay, now you got a couple L's. So now what? What are you going to do? How do you fix that? And that's the thing. How do you fix this defense? I wasn't expecting this. I don't think Eagles fans were expecting their defense to look this suspect either. I'm just the messenger, man. I watched the game and I tell you what I see, and I told you what I saw against the Rams, and it looked good. You didn't believe me? You thought, hey, you thought Eagles fans thought they really shut down the Rams, when really it was Matthew Stafford who was not playing good football. So now that they got a couple L's in a row, what do you do? Who's to blame? What's the fix? Do you even know? Or do you just ride the rest of the season out the way this is? Don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger, guys. Don't do it. All right, let's move on real quick. The Titans fired Brian Callahan. I've talked about this before, the fact that, hey, Tennessee Titans, how do you feel about letting go of Mike Vrabel and hiring Brian Callahan, who's won three games in almost 1.5 years? Sometimes when a guy is doing good, you have to look at what is it that he all of a sudden is not doing as good. Because Vrabel had the Titans looking really good, and all of a sudden, they don't look as good because they got rid of all the talent. A.J. Brown was gone, and all these other guys, they didn't re-sign them. So the team didn't have any talent, but Vrabel kept them respectable. But Titans fan and Titans ownership and management didn't see it that way. So they got rid of Mike Vrabel. Everybody wanted an offensive-minded, modern head coach. Brian Callahan comes over from the Bengals, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, and oh, yeah, he's not a good head coach. He apparently is not a good leader of men. Because the Titans have looked like a mess from the very beginning when he got there. No matter who the QB has been, no matter who they've played, they have never looked good under Brian Callahan. So at 1-5, the Titans give him the peace sign. And that ties into Mike Vrabel, who now has the Patriots sitting on top of the AFC East. I didn't think the Patriots were going to be good this year. I thought this was going to be a year to see how good Drake May could be, if he's a quality starter or not. Well, damn it, they're 4-2 now, sitting on top of the AFC East. And Vrabel is such a good coach and underrated. I was watching Red Zone, and Red Zone was talking about how, you know, towards the end of the Saints game, the Patriots were up like 6 points, 25-19, and they needed a first down to keep the clock going. Or here's what they were. They were 3rd and 11. 3rd and 11, 25-19 score. If they punt, Saints get the ball back, you know, enough time to go score. So they throw the ball, complete the pass near the sideline to Kayshon Boutte. He catches it, and he falls down. And the referees, you know, say he catches it, but he falls down. The pass was complete, but they ruled him out of bounds after that, so the clock would have stopped. Vrabel and his team of, you know, folks who review the replays is like, no, check it out, replay, blah, blah, blah. And when they review it, they realized, hey, he did catch the ball, yes, but he also went down inbounds. That keeps the clock going. And they end up victory formation and winning the game. Now, if he didn't do that, well, what happened was they would have gotten the first down, but if he went out of bounds, the clock would have stopped, and they would have needed another first down to ice the game. That is smart coaching, man. And that doesn't happen. You can't get that everywhere, bro. So he may not be a big fancy X's and O's, fancy plays, you know, dudes down the field type of Mike McDaniel type of cat that fans really like, bombs away. But he's just a smart coach. I remember watching Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. He just made smart coaching decisions. And those are the things that as a coach you need, that you don't cost your team wins, and you sometimes do things that helps them win. You put them in position to win. When they've given you everything they got athletically, you chip in with your coaching ability. And not everyone has that. So Tennessee is feeling that. The Patriots are feeling that in a positive way. And my Miami Dolphins are feeling the lack of that. So my Dolphins are sitting at 1-5. And I said it at the beginning of the year, before any of this started, I said this might be Mike McDaniel's last year. And I think it is. And he might be fired before the season's over. Again, team has no identity. We get pushed around. When a game's on the line, our QB throws picks. When a game's on the line and we need a stop, we can never get a stop. It's just a mixture of just bad, just terrible and bad for the Miami Dolphins. So as I'm watching the Dolphins play again, Tua's throwing picks all over the place. The Chargers aren't really that great of a team. But somehow, you know, we get the ball in position to ice the game, take the air out of the ball. And we can't. We don't. We could have taken much more time off the clock, but we don't towards the end of the game. Why? Coaching. The same coaching that can benefit one team, Mike Vrabel. The lack of coaching and situational management, clock management, cost the Dolphins a game. So we left too much time for Justin Herbert to come back. Special teams gets a good return. And then next thing you know, Justin Herbert is driving down his team down. Dolphins can't tackle. They drive down and win the game. That's coaching, man. And then Tua, after the game, is press conference talking about players not showing up to players-only meetings, players showing up late to players-only meetings. Bro, if you're having that many players-only meetings already, season's a wrap, bro. Where is your coach? He's throwing his coach under the bus. Tua acting like he the coach. Where is the coach? The actual head coach. Nowhere to be found. I would be shocked if Mike McDaniel comes back next year. Absolutely shocked. The Dolphins are done. And it sucks being a fan right now. Because that team actually has some talent, at least on offense, even with Cheetah out. The Dolphins still have talent offensively. They can still do some things. But they don't. Going out sad, man. Going out sad. I don't know what else to say, y'all. Every week I'm just watching trash on TV. My Dolphins suck. The Seminoles suck. My football season is just a mess right now. Just an absolute mess. Like, what am I doing? Why am I waking up on Saturdays watching football? Why am I on Sundays watching football? All right, let's switch over, man. Let's switch over. NBA starts following week, right? So next week, 21st, I think it is, Tuesday. So let me give you a quick preview, tell you what to look for, who's good, who's going to be, you know, not so good, bad, so on and so forth, right? Let's start in the East Atlantic Division. Boston. Y'all know about JT injury, which sucks. He's talking about he's trying to come back this season. I don't know. I mean, the Achilles is a hard injury to come back from. I wouldn't risk it. I would just take the year off. I don't think they have the team to compete anyway. So if I'm Jason Tatum, if I'm advising Jason Tatum, I'm like, yo, take the year off, bro. I know you're a strong cat. He's one of the few cats who actually wants to play every game. So I give him that. Like, I've always appreciated that about JT. Like, he wants to hoop. He said it himself, right? He doesn't want to take any nights off. You know, he's in Charlotte, 7:30 Tuesday game or whatever it is, right? He shows up to play. But if I were advising Jason Tatum, I would say, hey, bro, it's all right, man. This is an Achilles. You don't want to miss another year because you came back too soon. He said he's been working out. He's working out hard. You know, he's pushing himself. Cool. But until I'm truly 100% healthy, and the doctors say 100% I'm good, I wouldn't step foot on another gym, bro. So they'll be all right. They're not a championship contender, but they won't be a scrub either. All right? They still got some guys on that team. They don't have a real big, though. What you'll see there is they don't have a real big. They lost Big Al, and they lost KP. So they don't really have a starting center. They got Xavier Tillman, who's probably going to be playing the five. I don't know. So Boston's going to be okay, but not great. All right, not a contender. JT's out. Even if he was there, I don't know if they had the remaining pieces because they had to get rid of everybody. The remaining pieces to truly be a contender this year. Brooklyn will be bad. Not much to say there. I would hate to be Brooklyn Nets head coach. Because they're like, they picked up MPJ from Denver, Michael Porter Jr., but they're not going to be good. They don't really have anybody on that squad. They're just a low-level all-star team. I don't know. A high-level G League team. That's what they are. The Brooklyn Nets are a high-level G League team. Guys who can get buckets, but as a team, they're not good. All right? So ain't much to say. Don't worry about doing any kind of analysis. Ain't much to say about Brooklyn. They're not going to be good. The Knicks will be good, but I think they take a step back. They hired Mike Brown. They switched out Mike Brown for Thibodeau, or Thibodeau for Mike Brown. Defense for offense. Cool. The problem is, like I've said before, your two best players, New York, don't play any defense. Last year, I mentioned it with Cat and Brunson on the court together. They had the absolute worst defensive rating in the league. You're not going to win basketball at any level when your two best players can't defend at all. So, yeah, they might score more points. They might look a little bit more fluid on offense, but their defense is still going to suck because their two best players suck on defense. Yep, they picked up Jordan Clarkson. Even more scoring. Whoop-dee-doo, great. But the Knicks are going to take a step back. Again, they're going to score a lot of points, but I see them taking a step back because their defense is still going to be sus. And I felt like Thibodeau, like, tried to cover as much as he could for those guys who can't play defense. I don't know if Mike Brown can. Like, there is no defensive strategy or tactic that can cover for your two best guys just being just negative defenders, just so bad. So the Knicks might take a step back, but even with the step back, they might be the best team in the conference because everybody else is hurt. For example, the Sixers, continuing on in the Atlantic Division, the Sixers got a nice squad. But we know the Sixers ain't never going to be healthy. We know Joel Embiid ain't never going to be healthy. PG, who knows if he's healthy or not, likely unhealthy for the most part of the season. It's going to be tough watching the Sixers as a fan because you know the talent on the team. Supposedly now they're changing the offense. Nick Nurse has implemented his offense where it's going to be more passing, the ball moving, as opposed to watching Joel Embiid ISO and Maxi ISO, one of my favorite cats to watch, Maxi ISO pick and roll with Embiid. So it looks like they're going to mix in more moving around, ball moving. Great. But it don't matter when your best players ain't playing. And Joel Embiid, the monster that this cat is, I don't know if the rest of his career he's going to be able to play a full season. So unfortunately, the Sixers got an injury problem. And as a result, I don't know how good they're going to be this season. Atlantic Division to round out the Raptors. They picked up Brandon Ingram. They're going to be a bad team. They're young. They don't have any real big-time talent. All right? I guess they're still rebuilding. You could say that. Central Division. My Bulls are going to be bad. They were mid through the years after Jimmy Butler left. They picked up LaVine. They got DeRozan. Those guys are gone. Both of them are now in Sacramento. So the mid-years are gone, right? They're not going to be mid anymore. They're just going to be trash. The Bulls are just going to be trash. All right? Vucevic is the center. Kobe White is starting PG. And not much else. Really not much else for Chicago. So Chicago, the Bulls are going to be in a lottery, unfortunately. The Cavs. The Cavs are going to be the same team they were last year. They lost Ty Jerome. But they're going to have a great regular season, and they're probably going to end up losing early in the playoffs. They're just not a playoff team to me. Donovan is still Donovan. He's nice. But the rest around him, I don't know if they're really big boy basketball type of players. So the Cavs, I say they flatline, same team. A lot of wins in the regular season, get to the playoffs, not much. Pistons are going to be an improvement. Regular season and playoffs. I love the Pistons squad. I love their roster. They're getting Jaden Ivey back. They picked up Duncan Robinson for shooting. I really like the Pistons. I liked them last year. I like the coaching. I like the way they're built. They can go inside, outside. They're tough. They can defend. Hard nose. I love the Pistons. And I think the Pistons can make some noise this year, especially with all these injuries. So the Pistons are going to be good. Unlike the Pacers, who lost Tyrese for the whole year pretty much, they're not going to be that good. Now, they're still going to run their offense. It's going to score a lot of points, but their leader is gone. They lost Miles Turner to the Bucks. I don't know. They didn't replace him. They did not replace Miles Turner. So the Pacers are out Tyrese Halliburton, and they're out Miles Turner. And who's left? I mean, who's truly left who's going to lead that team, right? They don't have enough, all right? Again, went to the finals last year. I don't think they really should have been there anyway. But congrats to them, they went. I don't think they have enough this year to really contend. And honestly, they might be, you know, 41-41 type of squad. I don't see them really doing much with the loss of Miles Turner and the injury to Halliburton. The Bucks got Miles Turner from the Pacers. Giannis is still a freak. But they let Dame go. I don't know if the Bucks are going to be as good because they don't have a real lead guard. They don't have a real conductor. Like, if you're going to run a pick and roll with, you know, a lead guard with Dame and Freak, you'd be like, okay. But who's the point guard for the Bucks? They don't have one. They don't have a lead guard like that to actually, like, you know, be the threat with the ball in his hands to get downhill, create, get into the paint. They don't have that. So they're going to be asking Freak to be like their creator? People confuse assists with being a creator, bro. That's not Giannis's game. Just because he gets, you know, 6 assists a game by, you know, passing out of obvious double teams, he's not orchestrating an offense. He's not the Joker. He ain't like that. So the Bucks, may look good at times, but I think their ceiling is limited with this current squad. And there's been a talk about Giannis wanting to get traded and all this and that. Of course, they don't want to trade Giannis, but this team is limited. This team is capped. Everybody's going to blame Doc Rivers. It is what it is. But I'm not sure I see the Bucks doing much. But in either case, they're probably going to be one of the top teams in the conference. I mean, if Boston's a top team, if the Knicks are a top team, the Sixers, who knows, they're going to be healthy or not. The Cavs, Pistons, Bucks. Now, the Southeast, the Hawks are much improved. They got KP. They got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, which I think is a sneaky pickup. They're going to be an improved team. Now, how improved, we'll have to wait and see, all right? Because Trey still don't play no defense, but they got Dyson Daniels. They got some guys, all right? So we'll see. I think the Hawks are going to be improved. I think they'll be good. They'll be one of the good teams this year. Unlike previous years where they were bad, the Hawks are going to be a good team this year. The Hornets are not going to be good. Again, they're going to be bad, actually. And can I say this? I hate bashing people like this, but you will never win. The Charlotte Hornets will never win anything as long as LaMelo is their starting point guard. If you have a dude on your team, your best player doesn't really take the game serious, you're not going to win. No matter what you're playing, what level, LA Fitness, high school, college, if your best player ain't doing what it takes to win, you're not going to win. And the Hornets, unfortunately, are in a bad position where their best player isn't really trying to win. Like, if you out here practicing one-legged shots that we know ain't a high percentage, you ain't trying to win. So as I'm watching the Hornets during the preseason, I'm like, this cat literally is allowed to just take these one-legged shots. And teammates talking about he practices that stuff. And we know it don't go in like that during the real games. Like, those are horse shots, bro. So how do you reconcile that as a coach, right? He's making vocal money. How do you reconcile that as an organization that, hey, my best player is not really trying to win? James Harden, who really was the one who started this one-legged shot thing, James Harden doesn't even take him like that. But LaMelo taking multiple of those shots a game, he's not serious. He's not a serious cat. He's not for real. And when your lead guy ain't for real, your team's going to lose. And the Hornets, unfortunately, are going to still be bad. How do you coach that? How do you sit there as a coach and say, hey, man, I'm comfortable with you taking these one-legged threes, knowing good and damn well that joint ain't going in most of the time? No chance. Don't care how much he practices. No chance he ever gets really good at making those shots. Falling away, one-legged shots. Are you kidding? Ugh. Man, I would hate to coach LaMelo. I ain't gonna lie to you. The Heat should be better on offense than they were last year. They picked up Norman Powell, big pickup for them. The question is, they have a lot of guys who do similar things in terms of putting the ball in the basket. Andrew Wiggins, Powell, Rozier, Hero. All of these guys are really just score first type of guys. Who's going to be setting them up? So I don't know who's going to be setting them up in Miami. As a result, hey, look, Spo is still there. He still causes trouble with his game plans, but I don't know how good Miami is going to be. They're going to score more, probably make the playoffs in the East with all the injuries, but I don't know how good they're going to be. So I don't know if they're really going to be contenders or not. All right. So sorry, Miami Heat, you're going to be good. I don't know how good. I think you got a lot of redundant pieces in Wiggins, Powell, Rozier, and Hero. Now the Magic, going up the state line into Orlando, the Magic's actually going to be better than last year. And they were pretty tough out last year. But they're still going to defend. They're getting Jalen Suggs back, hopefully. He's healthy. picked up Desmond Bane for some shooting and offense. Franz Wagner is my man. I'm a Franz Wagner stan. All right. So Franz is still there. Banchero, hopefully he's improving. Although to me, there's still some question marks there in terms of what he's going to be in the NBA. But they still got Banchero. They still got Franz. Picked up Desmond Bane. Jalen Suggs is back for defense. And really, he's like their engine. So they should be better than they were last year. Definitely should be better on offense. And their defense is still going to be good. So I expect Orlando to do some things this year, to really, really be a threat in the East. Now, who's not going to be a threat is the Wizards. All right? They're just going to be a bad team. I feel bad for Chris Middleton. I feel bad for CJ McCollum. Come on, man. Like, these guys are vets, played on winning squads. But at the end of their career, they're making too much money, and the only team who's going to pay them is the Wizards. I can't imagine playing on that squad with the Wizards. They're just not going to be a good team. A lot of young cats, Alex Saar, we'll see, you know, if he turns up, you know, in his second year. We'll see. But they're just not a good team. They don't have much talent. All right? I guess you could say they're rebuilding. They went young, and they're trying to build. We'll see. I don't think the Wizards are going to be a good team, and I feel bad for my guys, Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, who are really good guys. So again, Eastern Conference, good teams, Boston, Knicks, Sixers if they're healthy, Cavs, Pistons, Bucks. Hawks will be good. Heat will be okay. Magic will be good. Now, who's really contenders? The Knicks, because everybody else is hurt. I'm not going to say the Sixers, because the Sixers are never healthy. I think the Pistons will compete. I think the Magic might compete. I don't trust the Cavs. The Cavs will have a lot of wins, maybe 50, 60 wins. But I don't trust them as true contenders. All right, West. The West side is the best side. Let's start with the Northwest, Denver. Denver picked up Bruce Brown back. Cool. They got Tim Hardaway Jr., so they kind of made up for the loss of Michael Porter Jr. They should be better because I really like Bruce Brown as a glue guy. Russ is gone. And shout out to Russell Westbrook. First offseason that Russell Westbrook is not on a roster. So he's essentially, I guess, retired now. He didn't get the farewell tour. But Russ essentially just, you know, rode off into the sunset. And Russell Westbrook wasn't appreciated enough. So I'm going to give you flowers, Russ. Right? I know a lot of people blamed you for a lot of things. But you were you. Your intensity was always there. No one could ever doubt your heart. You played hard all the time. You showed up all the time. Like, unless you were severely injured, you played. Like, Russell Westbrook, definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. One of the best to ever play the game, man. I don't care what nobody says. Fast, strong, athletic, you got it. Terrific career, man. And if this is the end, this is the end. It happens to the best. Very few guys get to call the shot when it's time for them to retire, right? But it's sad, man. It's sad that a generation of cats is leaving us. After so many years, there's a generation of cats who, you know, maybe the salary outweighs output. And Russ fell into that category. Man, sad to see him go. But Denver lost Russ. Like I said, they picked up Bruce Brown and Tim Hardaway, and they got Cameron Johnson. That was the trade. Cameron Johnson for MPJ. So I think Denver's going to be good. They're going to be a contender. Of course, you still got the Joker who does what he does. You know, hey, man, as long as you got that guy in this currently, you're a contender. So Denver's going to contend because I think Bruce Brown brings that spark, that energy that they had when they went to the finals and won. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Cameron Johnson can help pick up the scoring load. Denver's going to be all right. They got Valanciunas. Valanciunas as the backup center. Now they have a legit backup. They've had DeAndre Jordan, on the roster the last couple of years, and the corpse of DeAndre Jordan really wasn't that good. Valanciunas is still, he's still serviceable. So Denver is going to contend. All right? T-Wolves are definitely a contender. They still got my man Anthony Edwards, who I'm waiting to see get to that Kobe Michael Jordan tier. I've been calling it, and he's been holding out because last year he was shooting a bunch of tray balls. For the love of God, Ant, get your behind in the paint. Do something, bro. I'm not telling you not to shoot threes, but don't stop shooting 10 threes a game. That's not where you are of the most benefit to your team. But they'll be a contender. My only problem with the T-Wolves is Mike Conley Jr. still being their starting PG. Like, after all these years, damn near 20 years, Mike Conley can't be your starting PG. He still plays well at times, but at other times, he looks old. And other players make him look his age. They lost Nickeil Alexander-Walker, like I said, to the Hawks. But the biggest problem is Mike Conley at point guard. I don't trust it. I don't think against the best teams, Mike Conley at PG works. Now, they probably don't have nobody else now. But that's their problem. They'll be a contender, but they may be limited. OKC. OKC is defending champs. Come on. Definitely a contender. Probably the favorites to repeat again if you asked all the GMs and everybody. They're coming back with the deepest squad in the league. They're like, if you want to come get it, come get it. We got it all. So nothing much to say about OKC. They're the favorite. They got the squad they're bringing back. We'll see if anybody can challenge them. They're so deep, man. Deep two-way players. I love that squad. The Blazers, Damian Lillard is back home, but he's hurt. They got Drew Holiday, who's going to bring some veteran leadership. They got some talented cats on that team, man. Like, Shannon Sharp is a talented cat. And when they had Anthony Simons, like, these dudes were talented, but they, for whatever reason, they suck. Is that coaching? Is that just players don't want to win? Like, they don't have a winning culture, a winning mindset? What is it with the Blazers? How much longer does Chauncey get to build a winner? Because if Dame's out all year, I don't know, even with Dame, I guess, how good they would have been. So we'll see. Dame is talking about, you know, he's going to take his time. And, you know, I don't know if this cat really wants to play this year or not. But if he's out for an extended period of time, they'll have to play without him. I mean, they got Drew Holiday, to bring some veteran leadership. So we'll see. I don't know how much longer Chauncey gets, man. They have been terrible since he's been there. Really terrible. And I know the talent ain't been there, but as far as veteran leadership, but I thought they would at least be better than this, but they suck. You know who else sucks? The Jazz. The Jazz got Kevin Love. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know Kevin Love playing for the Jazz now? Random. K-Love needs to do like Russ and just let it go, man. Let it go. The big thing for the Jazz, though, is finding out if Ace Bailey is a hooper or not. Can he play? Baller in college, but can you play with the big boys? If you can, then you can start to build around him if you're the Jazz. If you can't, then you're like, damn, another year, another first round, first pick. Like, what are we going to do? All right? So, Jazz, funny Kevin Love is there. Not so funny is that you don't really have anybody else. All right? So, let's see if Ace Bailey can actually play, and then you start to build around him. That was the Northwest Division. The Pacific Division got the Warriors. Warriors, Steph and Seth are on the same team with the Warriors, which is interesting, right? Playing with your brother is always cool. Jonathan Kuminga had a contract dispute. He thought he was worth more than he actually is. He settled that, so now he's back in. Who knows if he's going to be happy or not when he hoops. But the Warriors' problem is still the problem we've had the last couple of seasons. Steph is old. He gets hurt now. Dre is older. Like, everybody on their squad is essentially old that had like that winning mentality, that pedigree. They don't have much winning left on, like, cats who experience what. Hell, Kevon Looney is gone. Kevon Looney is gone from the Warriors. So at Steph's age, you know, Dre, like, Kuminga really should have been the cat to step up to be, like, the number one, the leader, at least next to Steph. But we don't know if Kuminga is going to be like that. So the Warriors in a tough spot. They'll be good. I mean, Jimmy Butler is there, obviously. They'll be good. They'll probably contend. I actually think the Warriors will contend. But it's going to be interesting watching Steph, you know, be old and, you know, all that stuff running around, Dre older. It's going to be interesting to see how much their bodies can handle, right? I think Steph is in like year 16, 17, something like he's up there too. He's up there. Dre is in like year 13, 14. These guys are getting old. Father Time's undefeated, even against LeBron. All right, let's move on. Clippers. Clippers saga all off season with Kawhi getting paid on the table. I already talked about that. They picked up Bradley Beal. They got Chris Paul, who, by the way, Chris Paul, shout out to him. He's in year 20. Not sure how much he has left in the tank. He's probably going to be a backup. They got Brook Lopez, another old head, in year 17. So they picked up some hype, right, with Lopez. They picked up some leadership with Chris Paul coming back home to the Clippers. They got Bradley Beal, some more scoring out of Phoenix. Their big question is, can Kawhi stay healthy? If Kawhi is healthy, they could make some noise with James, you know, doing their thing. With Kawhi not healthy, it's still going to be James doing his thing with, you know, not much. Not much. I mean, that scandal was wild, right? Nobody's probably going to get in trouble for it. Right? That's usually how things are with money, Zambo. So the Clippers are going to have a nice squad. They'll be good. I think they can contend if Kawhi is healthy. But the likelihood, like with Joel Embiid, the likelihood is that the Clippers won't contend because Kawhi won't be healthy. The Lakers, on the other hand, I don't think they're a true contender. They'll have a good regular season. They'll have a lot of TV games. I'm just a hater, man. I sound like a hater. They'll have a lot of TV games. They'll get a lot of publicity. People will be talking about how fit Luka looks, right? He's in the best shape of his life. Okay. LeBron's now hurt because he has sciatica. He's out several weeks. That's old man talk, man. So LeBron's out for several weeks. Luka's in the best shape of his life. We don't know if that's true or not. They got Ayton. They picked up Marcus Smart. I still think they're missing pieces. They're missing young two-way pieces right now. Like OKC has a bunch of young two-way cats, just pit bulls, just dogs. They can defend you, lock you up, score. I don't know if LA really has that. The Lakers, I mean. So the Lakers are probably going to be good, but they're not a contender. The Suns are going to be all right. They got Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks for KD. I told y'all before, and I'll say it again, I just don't trust Jalen Green. All the talent in the world, got bunnies, but he still takes tough shots more often than not. He's inefficient. And I don't know if he does anything but score. He doesn't set up his team as the leader who people thought expected him to be in Houston. He doesn't do much outside of scoring the basketball. So I don't know if, you know, Suns fans start, you know, getting mad at him sooner than later. Because his talent is promising. That's the thing with Jalen Green. His talent is promising. But in actual games, you're like, what are you doing, man? Why are you taking these bad shots? Why are you not D'ing up? So the Suns are going to be all right. I don't think they're going to be that good. Book is talking about, you know, he's staying loyal to Phoenix, you know, build a winner, blah, blah, blah. Listen, man, part of the reason is you being you. Book can score, but what else is Booker doing? Or can he do on a basketball court? And that's one of the problems with the Suns is Booker doesn't do much on a basketball court. He ain't defending. Jalen Green ain't defending. Like, what are we doing? So the Suns are going to, they're going to struggle. I think the Suns struggle. The Kings, I think, are going to be mid. So, again, like I said earlier, they got Zach LaVine and reunited with DeMar DeRozan. They're going to be mid. All right, just like the Bulls were mid with those two. All right? They just, and maybe it was just because Zach wasn't happy in Chicago anymore, but when you watch Zach play last couple years in Chicago, his heart wasn't in it. He was just there. And maybe that comes back in Sacramento. Maybe not. So the Kings are going to be mid. They got Dennis Schroeder also. I just don't know about that squad. I don't see anything there that tells me that the Kings are actually going to be contenders. I could see them ending up 41-41, 42-39, like something like that. Or 41-39, I should say. 42-39. No, 42-40. Bad math. 42-40, 41-41, 43-39. Heck am I talking about, man? So that was the Pacific Division, Southwest Division. Dallas got the flag. Cooper, they picked up D'Angelo Russell as well. Kyrie's out. I thought Dallas would have challenged last year had they been healthy, but I keep saying this stuff about had they been healthy. I don't know, man. You don't know who's going to be healthy or not, but some guys you know definitely are going to be healthy. You know AD ain't going to be healthy. And there's a high likelihood that Kyrie's not going to be healthy either. So Flag is there. So, you know, we'll see how he is. We'll see if he's worth the hype. But they got a really big lineup, man. They could put out Flag. They could put out there with AD and Gafford and Lively and these guys. Like they could, their front line could really be long if they wanted to, especially with Cooper Flag out there. Like the only short guy on the court at times might be D'Angelo or Kyrie. They might give some teams some problems. I think they will, actually. I think they will. They'll give some teams some. They may not. They're not going to win a championship, but I think they can contend if they can get some decent play out of D'Angelo, right? So he hasn't been the lead guard on a really good team, right? He was a point guard with the Lakers, but Braun was really the lead guard, the primary ball handler. So we'll see, right, if he can be the lead guard on a really good team. Because I think that Dallas Mavericks height can give some people problems. All right? Rockets. Rockets got KD in a trade. They picked up Finney Smith. They picked up Clint Capella back. They were testing out this huge lineup in the preseason with KD, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Shane Gould, and Steven Adams. Who brings the ball up court? Who's the actual point guard who initiates an offense? Don't tell me it's going to be KD or Amen Thompson. KD, fantastic ball handler, but it's more for scoring. It's not for bringing the ball up the court. And I hate when people underestimate the need for a true point guard, someone who can create offense and run a team. And I know the Rockets were just trying out this huge lineup, but I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to work for a sustained period of time. You're not going to be able to sustain quality, you know, play with KD being the one running the point or Amen Thompson. You need an actual point guard. I know Fred VanVleet is hurt for a while, but you need someone who could actually organize an offense. But I think the Rockets are actually going to be really, really good. And they're going to be contenders when Fred comes back. So the Rockets are definitely a true contender. They're still defending, right? Amen Thompson, Scottie Pippen 2.0. Still doing his thing on defense. If he improves on offense, which he's uber athletic, Rockets can do some things. Grizzlies, not so much. They'll be okay. But like I said before, the Grizzlies' window for championships is passing. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Thanks to Ja, the window's closed. Ja's been in the league 7 years, but I swear it seems like he's been in the league 15 years. That's how long it's just seemed like it's been. So Ja's still there. He'll still be exciting. They picked up Ty Jerome, shooter, scorer. But I really think their window's closed. Part of the reason their window's closed is because JJJ, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. is there, who hasn't expanded his game beyond shooting threes and, you know, catching the ball, throwing up quick left and right hooks. Like, real pivot foot games to dominate the post isn't there for him as someone who should be dominating the post. So, yeah, the window for the Grizzlies is gone. They might be all right. I don't see them doing much, though. I don't see them doing much. Pelicans. Pelicans got Jordan Poole. They got Kevon Looney. Oh, my God. I feel bad for Kevon Looney. I don't know about the squad. I mean, I guess the storyline is, can Zion actually stay healthy for once? Can you get off the donuts for once? I shouldn't say that, man. I shouldn't say that. But Zion has to stay healthy if they're going to do anything, and we have no reason to believe that he will be healthy. Jordan Poole, he's going to score a lot, but he's not a smart basketball player. And, you know, the rest of their roster, I guess they got some guys. I just don't trust them with – I don't trust them with Zion and really without Zion. So I can see the Pelicans being good, but I don't see them being a contender. Unless Zion can stay healthy and he developed an offensive game while he's been chilling the bench the whole time. Or have you been snacking, bro? And the last team in the Southwest Division is the Spurs. Spurs got Dylan Harper, Hooper in college, Stephon Castle, Hooper, Devin Vassell, straight bucket, Hooper. Picked up De'Aaron Fox from the Kings, really fast, you know, probably like end-to-end fastest cat in the league with the ball in his hands. My question for San Antonio is this. If you're going to contend, if the Spurs are going to contend this year, they have to figure out if Vic just wants to sit out there and shoot trade balls and look pretty, or if he actually wants to take advantage of his height and dominate. I mean, absolute dominate. Don't stay out there shooting pretty, you know, crossing over. It looks good on the highlights. But to truly be dominant, Vic, you got to get your butt down low. You got to get down low and do some things, right? Now, you're not going to be the strongest cat because your frame is still there. But Victor Wembanyama has to become more than just, oh, I'm going to shoot threes. They can't put shorter guys on you like when I was watching the Knicks against the Knicks last year, Christmas Day. They were putting a Chua on him or something like that. What? Come on, man. Like, they need to, if a legit center is not on Vic, he needs to just walk him down, get in the post, and get some easy baskets, draw fouls. Otherwise, he's just kind of like a sideshow. Like, when is Vic going to become the true alien, dog? The true unicorn that we've never seen? That's going to require more than just three-pointers, man. That's going to require all-around game so that teams can't switch, they can't not switch, and it's like a problem either way. That's when we know Victor Wembanyama will meet the hype that, you know, everyone was saying coming over from France a couple years ago. So we'll see, man. So challengers in the West, I would say contenders are Denver, the T-Wolves, OKC, the Warriors, Clippers, if Kawhi is healthy. Dallas, if they can get healthy, and the Rockets. I don't know if the Spurs are ready to challenge it. We'll see if Vic actually becomes who he's supposed to become. Yeah, they can contend. They got a squad. But if he's just out there shooting tray balls, make it easy for the defense to defend, I don't think they're really going to be that good. All right. So again, recapping my good teams for the West are going to be Warriors, Clippers, Nuggets, T-Wolves, OKC, Rockets, and maybe Dallas if they can get healthy. So, yeah, what y'all think? What y'all think of the season preview? Let me know. I try not to go with the records prediction and, you know, finals prediction. That stuff is fun and great, but it's kind of useless because I never get a damn thing right. I never get even close. People get hurt. People suck when I thought they were going to be good. I'm just not good at that stuff. All right? But I will tell you who's going to be good, who's going to be mid, and who's not going to be good at all. Who's going to be terrible. All right, y'all. That's all I had with my NBA season preview, NFL and college football topics. Appreciate y'all hanging out. As always, let me know your thoughts. Like, subscribe, share. But I'll catch you guys next time, all right? You guys be good. Have a great week. Mike, sports and the real shit. Y'all be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.